All right, remember, the machine knows if you're lying. First statement, Carvana will give you a real offer on your car all online.
False.
True, actually. Oh. You can sell your car in minutes.
False? That's gotta be...
True again. Carvana will pick up your car from your door, or you can drop it off at one of their car vending machines.
Sounds too good to be true, so true!
Finally caught on. Nice job. Honesty isn't just their policy, it's their entire model. Sell your car today, too.
Carvana.
Pickup fees may apply.
Detroit, Michigan. I'll be there Friday, November 8th at the Magic Bag. Minneapolis, Minnesota. I'll be there Saturday, November 9th at the Parkway Theater. Madison, Wisconsin. I'll be there Friday and Saturday, November 15th and 16th at Comedy on State. And Portland, Oregon. I'll be at the Aladdin Theater Saturday, November 23rd. Get your tickets to those shows and all shows on my website at ryansickler.com.
The Honeydew with Ryan Sickler.
Welcome back to the Honeydew, y'all. We're over here doing it in the Night Pants Studios. I am Ryan Sickler, ryansickler.com, and Ryan Sickler on all your social media. And I'm starting this episode like I start them all by saying thank you. Thank you for whatever you do to support anything that I do. I don't care if it's been an email, merch, whatever it is. And hey, look, if you got to have more, then I say it every week, you got to have the Patreon. The Patreon's called The Honeydew with y'all. It is this show with y'all, and nobody's got stories like y'all. Nobody. It is the wildest show on Patreon. It's only $5 a month. It's been five since we started. Hundreds of episodes in the back catalog. You get The Honeydew a day early. You get it ad-free. You get it at no additional cost. And if you or someone you know has a story that's got to be heard, please submit it to honeydewpodcast@gmail.com. If you already did, resend it. Bump it to the top. We get a lot of them, and I would love to do an episode with you. My fall dates, they're up on my website at ryansickler.com. Come out and see me. If I am in your town, when you're around, all tickets are on my website at ryansickler.com. Go there to get them, and I hope to see you at a show. And that's it. All right. That's the biz. You guys know what we do here. We highlight the lowlights. And I always say that these are the stories behind the storytellers. And I am very excited to have this guest back on the Honeydew, ladies and gentlemen. Please welcome Sam Tripoli. Welcome
Let's
back to the Honeydew,
go,
Sam Tripoli.
Bro. Let's go. Back in the saddle with my boy, the hardest working man in comedy.
I love your energy.
The
dude.
Hustler. You work smart, not hard.
That's what I'm trying to do.
You
that was
are,
my
bro.
Shift. Smarter, not harder is
Dude,
my shift.
You're giving me college education and how to podcast. This is some DeVry shit here.
Speaking of DeVry shit, real quick, before you promote, I just want to say, if you haven't ever listened to Sam Tripoli's old Crab Feast episodes, you got to go listen to him because he talks about how he would defend himself on traffic tickets. And I just want a quick update because I still get people to be like, yo, tell Tripoli I went in and I defended myself and I got off my ticket.
There we go, dude.
What is your traffic ticket
it's
record?
It's not good. I lost two. I've had a couple.
What are you at now, would you say, roughly, wins, loss?
I would say I'm about 18-5 now.
That's incredible.
That I get pulled over that
23
much.
23 times is a lot to be pulled over. But to win 18 of them is nuts,
I got two in the queue right now. They're nailing me for these traffic lights. Where these traffic cams where, like, if you get too far up, it flashes on
yeah,
you.
Yeah, I watch them
but
flash
I always
on everybody.
Stop.
Yeah.
I always stop. So I'm gonna beat the robots, dog.
Yeah,
I'm 1-1 against the robots, and the only one I lost is because I forgot to show up.
Unless you're dead to rights, clear as day at you, you can say that's a valet driver. That's not me.
No, but they get you, dude. That's why you should always drive with your
visor
down.
Yeah, yeah.
That's how it goes. Yeah.
Please promote everything you'd like. You got a brand new special out.
We got a brand new special just dropped. It's called Quiet. The whole title is Why Is Everybody Getting Quiet? It was filmed in Hollywood. It's about an hour. I was going to break it up in two, but I'm like, ah, just let it roll. So I that's out. And my podcasts are fire. I got a podcast called Broken Simulation where I just tell stories of my week. It started during the pandemic and I just kind of go off on that. Tinfoil Hat is well known for conspiracies. And then I have a great debate show with my friend Dylan Wren. It's called the Deep Waters, aka Deep Waters, and we debate politics. So go check all those. Everything's on samtripoli.com. Everything, all my podcasts,
dates,
all my dates, all my premium content. Like I'm putting my premium content right on samtripoli.com. So you can get it all there. I'm doing about 3 episodes a week on there where I just like doom scroll the internet. And then we do, it's a fun thing. So just go to samtripoli.com. It's fire.
You mentioned Quiet. That's the name of the special.
Yeah.
All right. Now, the funny thing is to me, what I want to talk to you about is the opposite of Quiet. You're the dad of twins.
Yes.
2 twin girls.
4 years old, bro.
4 already.
Jeez. I went to they were pandemic babies. I went to one of their friend's birthday party. She's 5 now, dude. I went to a 5-year-old's birthday party with I can't believe it, dude.
I would love to be at the party where my daughter's at and you showed up.
Oh,
dude.
I show up.
Oh, God, dude. Yeah.
Wearing sweatsuits. All the women are dressed like they're going to the VMAs.
Yeah.
Like women always dress up.
Yeah, always nice for the kids.
Yeah,
party.
Guys show up in pajamas, dude.
Have you had, I'd say I get a lot of grief for this one because now this is, people misunderstood this. It was Gaffigan and I talking about where I would be at like a 2-year-old's birthday party and parents would drop their kid off and bounce. And I was like, hold up, man. That's a 2-year-old. You know what I mean? I don't know if your kid knows how to swim. I don't know this, that. You don't just get to drop your 2-year-old off and bounce. This isn't an 8-year-old or a 9-year-old. You know what I mean? Dude. And people were getting on me like, oh, you're soft. I'm like, I would never drop my 2-year-old off. Like, what time I need to pick her up? 6? All right, I'll be back.
No way.
But you realize certain parents that do that. I was at a party. I was like, they just dropped their 2-year-old off? They're like, yep. And I was like, damn,
you just use me for a babysitter. That's all it is, dude. Mm-hmm. And I have an autistic daughter. She's on the spectrum. She's the best. But autistic kids are super interesting because they're like X-Men. Like you're like, you just like, what is your superpower? They all have superpowers. Mm-hmm. Mine is, can I find the most dangerous shit to do instantly?
All right, wait, let's go back to the beginning, literally. So are they fraternal or identical twins?
They're fraternal.
All right. And
thank God.
What's the age difference? How many minutes apart?
I think they're about, I want to say 20, 25.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. Well, actually, the most interesting thing is like these two came out of the womb with their personalities. Like, it's so great. The first one, bang, hits the hole. Pow, dude. High-stepping Roger Craig. Bang, right through the hole, dude. Comes out. She just like,
covered it like this. So proper.
She just comes out. She's smiling.
It reminds me of that old school. You're old enough to remember. Marshall Faulk, when he played for the Colts, had a fucking badass Nike, I think it was, commercial where he was running and everything was coming at him. And one of the last things was like a jet behind him and he tucked the ball and he went right here.
100%. Earl Campbelling that shit, right? Earl Campbell blown out his knees for 2 yards.
Shirt ripping off, coming out.
So she comes out. Like,
blown out his knees for 2 yards.
So then the other one just jackknifed in the back. And that's just kind of how their personalities
are. Can I ask you personal questions and we can cut anything out if you don't want to? But are they natural twins or was this, because I'm not. There's no twins in our family. My mom, so we're born in March of 73. So she was pregnant in 72. So she's taken, I don't know what, prenatal or pregnancy.
Oh, really?
Yes. Because she was having trouble having twins. And I guess we're a side effect of that. Medication. Yeah.
This is natural, but we don't have twins in our family.
None in your family or hers.
That, as far as I know.
Yeah.
Maybe I just hit it so hard that I just split it in two. Boom, they go off. And now there's 2 of them.
So but, when you first hear two, when she says there's 2 heartbeats, what do you do?
I'm super excited, dude. I love my kids. I'm very blessed. I love them both. They're so interesting right now. And they're at that age where they're very honest. Like, one's nonverbal, but the other one is just like got soup. Like, my one daughter has been running stuff. Like, she was 3 running 5-year-olds. Like, she's like went out to the yard.
I know that kid, yeah.
Right?
The responsible just went out to the car, one.
Found the toughest kid, smacked him.
The teenager in 5. Right? Yeah, yeah.
She's running everything, yeah. Dude. So she's always been like that. So now they're at the age, man, where like they're super honest.
What was your relationship like with your dad?
My dad is great. I love my dad. I'm the only one in my family who still talks to my dad.
I like the way you say.
Yeah, my dad's Kaiser Sose, dog. He'll shoot the family, burn the village down. That's how he goes, bro. And I go, like, it's a big reason why I got
was
sober.
Was it always a good relationship with your dad? When you were a kid, did you have a good relationship?
Yeah, we always got along. You did. Because I always knew my dad was shady.
What do you mean?
My dad never worked well with others. Ever. I remember, like, we have these next door neighbors that are such a big part of our family, like on my neighborhood, and their mom was a real estate agent or wanted to do a real estate deal with my dad, and my dad wouldn't do it. And I remember, like, I was like 10 years old. I go, Dad, you got to work with people. You got to work. You can't go alone. At 10 years old, I'm giving advice to my old man. He's from a different, you know, and then you talk to your dad later on, you start realizing that, like, the trauma they went through. Like, I would talk to my dad, go, Dad, why'd you do this? And he goes, that's how I was taught. He told me a story a long time ago when he was with his dad at his grandma's, and he asked his dad, can they go home? And his grandma just smacked the shit out of him, right? And I go, that would be traumatizing to somebody right now if they saw someone's grandma smacking a kid, right? So you start to understand, like, they don't have, like, this thing where, like, we can go to therapy, we can cry, we can do all these things that guys back then could do. My dad had to get married at 22, right? Like, it's super young. My dad's me. Doesn't want to get married, never wanted to get married, just wants to live his life.
But he was okay having kids.
Yeah, my dad was always a good dad.
Because there is something, there's a difference between being a dad and a husband.
Yeah.
You know, you say you don't want to get married. That's fine. But you still have kids. You like being a dad.
I love being a dad.
And your dad was married, though, right? He did get married to your mom.
He was married to my mom for a very long time. She waited to the day my brother graduated high school. Nah. Next day, divorce.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Is that right? The
bad.
She had that vanilla folder ready to go.
Yeah. My brother's getting diploma. He's getting divorced.
I'll take this and you can have it.
Yeah, 100%, dude. That's exactly what happened.
That is wild.
My mom was just waiting.
That's a lot of prep work.
That's a lot of prep, dog.
It is behind the scenes shit your mom was doing.
Move out.
So she kept the house and you stay with her, or are you older?
Well, I graduated. I was at UNLV. I was in Vegas at the time. My brother stayed, you know, because he hadn't graduated high school yet. And then he went to Arizona and it just got all crazy between those two. And it sucks. But, you know, so yeah, my dad was a good dude. I always say this in recovery meetings, is that I really do believe my father was put there to show me what would happen to me if I continued down this, like, path I was going, you know, because I was raised by very paranoid people, and my dad's super paranoid, and I saw myself starting to do that, and I realized, like, that's not how it goes in life, you know? So it's like through recovery, you kind of learn, like, to play the game of life. That's my biggest thing I want to teach my daughters. I'm like, I'm going to teach you how to play the game of life. My daughter's like, teach me the game. And that was the cutest thing ever. So that's it. Like, can you take these wild animals that you're raising and teach them how to play the game of life and function in society? That's kind of it.
And you have two very different daughters.
Two very different
daughters. So how are you handling
that? They love each other, which is crazy, because me and my brother growing up, we're very close now, but we definitely had we bumped heads.
What's
a lot.
Your age difference?
2.5 years.
Okay.
And my brother is genetically superior to me.
Yeah.
Which really sucks when you're the older brother. He's better looking. He's younger. He's in better shape.
Is he bigger?
He's smarter.
Stronger?
He's got a bigger dick, right?
I love your honesty.
Me and my had a buddy over when we were really young. We all measured dicks and I came in third, dude.
There was only 2 people in the contest.
It was Jason, 2 Jasons and me, and all the Jasons were more hugged than me.
All the Jasons.
That's a good thing about being like a dad is like whatever your deficiencies are, nobody cares.
What do you mean by that? Explain.
Right? Like if you have a problem physically, like you're not the most hung guy in the world. And by the way, I've been measuring this thing since I learned about measuring. Okay. 6 inches. Shut the fuck up. Okay.
Has it gotten any bigger over the years?
Well, dude, as I lose weight, it gets a little better. And then, dude, I started getting my, everything trimmed down. Cause I heard this comic got trimmed. I go, oh, I'll try to get trimmed down. They trim my junk down. So did
Who's
I ever
they?
Tell you that
what
story?
Do you mean they?
The Chinese trans lady.
They, first of all.
Well, it's they then.
I don't know if you met the team of people down there in a parlor or something.
I'm respecting pronouns, bro.
I didn't pick it up. I really thought there was at least 3 people handling your shit.
Working me?
Like waxing legs.
Just buffing?
I really did.
Then she shaves me down, dude. I got like pristine land that I never even saw. So added an inch on that right there, which is nice. So do you guys remember Eric Myers?
Yeah, I remember Eric.
Rest his soul. Yeah. God, should have been a theater comic. Couldn't get out of his own way. God bless him. But man, people would show me pictures he would send when he was drunk. He would send chicks pictures, but he reverse Hitlered it. Where he just did the patch above it, right? So it looked like it gave him 3 more inches. It was like an optical illusion.
Oh, so it looks like a strip going down longer, like a build-up ramp.
Like a running star, dude. Yeah, dude, I was like, wow, man, that's really smart. You got to think about that.
That's ridiculous.
So, you know, that's kind of like I've learned a lot from my dad. You know, and that's the blessings, you know, the old guard, you know, you got to remember, you know, they weren't perfect. They didn't have all the.
Well, you're the same age as me and my dad's gone now, but I talk about this all the time. Like my dad was Vietnam era, his father, World War II. We're over here being like, I want to dance. Yeah. They're like, what?
Right. They don't even
you
understand
tell
it.
Jokes. What are you talking about?
No, but
about?
See, here's the crazy shit about me. I flunked first grade.
I
right?
think you've said this before. But, yeah,
so,
yeah.
Like, my parents, they didn't care.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, you're going to do stand-up? I thought you were going to pump gas. That's literally
yeah,
what.
Okay, all right.
They thought I was going to pump gas. So they always support me, which was very weird. Because most people you talk to, their parents aren't really supportive of them following a career in
Have
dance.
Have your mom and dad come to see you do stand-up separately?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Have they ever come together? Like,
no,
not together,
no,
but
they,
at the same
they,
show?
They won't. It, okay. My mom won't
you
be
You
got to
give that heads
yeah,
up.
My, okay. Yeah, she won't do it.
Got it.
But yes, and it's so funny.
But he would?
Yeah. My yeah, dad yeah. was... So funny. I remember I took my dad to Beecher's Madhouse. Do you mm-hmm. remember
I
Beecher's
sure
Madhouse?
I remember Beecher's Madhouse.
Oh, dude,
Madhouse.
In Vegas?
Yeah.
Was insanity, dude. And I remember, I'm like, Dad, because, you know... My dad's great. He probably didn't want to get married, but society, if you weren't married by 23, you were gay, right? That was right, that was the old
You're probably right?
right. If you weren't married by 23, so you were you got a little sugar in the tank. That's what they would think, right? Right? So he got had to get married, had kids, loved his kids. But my dad's a Rolling Stone. So we're doing this show, and if you never know what Beecher's Madhouse is. Beecher's Madhouse is like the greatest live variety show you'll ever see in your life. Jeff Beecher's like the best like ringmaster you'll ever meet. And there was everything. There was like African tribe dancers. And then there were like midgets with fire. And there was like go-go dancers everywhere. But it is loud. And I remember bringing my dad there and he, you know, and I'm like, oh, it's probably too loud. Girls are dancing everywhere. And I'm like, Dad, are you okay? He's like, oh, I'm fine. He's just like,
I'm fine.
Yeah, mind blowing,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Had to go become a teacher. And now he's in the middle of Vegas. And so he's always been a good, I always loved him. He loved my stand up. He always hits me up. He loves Russell Peters,
mm-hmm.
which is kind of cool when you find out like your contemporaries that your parents like.
Yeah.
That's how you know you're big when my dad finds out about you.
Yeah.
When he starts talking about it, he's always been super supportive. One of the first jokes I wrote was about my parents. I remember that. Do you remember your first joke?
I don't remember my very first joke, but I remember some of my first jokes. I can't remember the very first one.
First joke I ever wrote was about how women give hand jobs like lawnmowers, like starting lawnmowers. Like that was the very first joke I
like
ever
the
wrote.
Pole star.
Yeah, I know. That was the first joke I ever did, and then about my mother power walking. Those were my first jokes ever. But yeah, I mean, I have jokes about my dad. My dad used to give us, I talked about this before, but he had this wink and a nod thing that he used to do anytime he wanted me to beat up my brother.
Oh, so he's very, that's the best.
He's
yeah.
very festive. I love my father, and he's super proud of me, and I love him. But
is he a good grandfather?
He loves his kid. He's come and seen them a couple times. We're trying to get him out here with him and his girlfriend to the house.
Oh, he's not in California?
No, he's in Prescott, Arizona.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Living with his black
girlfriend.
So he's
not local. Oh, yeah?
My dad, dude, everybody else was listening to Led Zeppelin growing up. Dad loved Motown. Love Motown. Stevie Wonder.
So this isn't a surprise to you.
Yeah, my dad loves black ass for sure.
All right. So what are some of your biggest fears as a dad with two different kids at the same age? These are things I could never ask my father.
It was,
you know, I would love to ask because I'm a twin. So
yeah,
as a father of twins, like we were fraternal, also very different personalities. Like my mom would put us in the same clothes, but
that was that must have been so weird.
It was two completely different looking children
dressing the exact same.
She
really wanted you guys to be identical, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I you know, my biggest fear is just like for me is like breaking the generational trauma of that that our parents passed down to us because their parents passed down to them. And like, you know, for me, paranoia, I really want my kids. I'm really trying to teach her. She says I can't a lot. Mm-hmm. And it drives me nuts.
Yeah, me too.
Because I'm like, we can't say this.
No, nope.
You know, I can't. And she's, you know, we can't hit them anymore. I mean, back
anymore,
in the day.
You're right.
Back in the day, we'd get lit up.
I get one coming out and I didn't even know it was coming.
And they know
this. I'd be used to it. Like, what the fuck was that one for? You know what I mean? Not even crying anymore.
Yeah, and they know it.
Mm-hmm.
So we're negotiating with terrorists. That's what we're doing with these kids.
I walk around all the time saying, be a problem solver, be a problem solver. This story makes me laugh. I tell this one, but this shit made me laugh. My daughter was probably like four years old. And we're on the way to school and she's hungry and I got a banana. I give her the banana in the backseat. I'm like, just eat the banana. And she's doing it, Dad, I open it. I'm like, I'm not opening a banana for you. Open a banana. Turn it around and do it the way the monkeys do it if this way is too hard for you. No, Dad, open. I'm like, I'm not opening. I can't. I go, I don't want to hear that shit. Like, there is no,
it drives me nuts.
Be a problem solver. I swear to God, Triple, we pull up to a red light. We're next to a car. There's a tiny ass baby, must probably be 6 months, 8 months. This motherfucker had a banana and peeled it right in front of it. And I go, look at that baby. My daughter started laughing so hard. I go, that baby's peeling a banana. We still talk about that.
You must
that
be
shit.
A great dad.
I was laughing so hard. I was like, that baby's, and she's dying laughing. I was like, no more excuses.
That is one of the hardest things about being a parent is knowing that every kid is on their own timeline.
Yep. I'll never forget my friend who has four kids, and he said the same thing. They all learn to read at a different age, walk at a different age, cognitive, you know, thinking at different
100%.
Age. 100%. Everything's different age for every single one. And just because you have one daughter doesn't mean that next one wants to be swaddled or, you know what I mean? They're all different.
They're all completely different, and they're on their own timeline.
So how are you dealing with that at the same time?
Well, it's very interesting to me because, like, swimming, right? It's taken 3 summers. To get this girl to swim, like
one of your daughters or both?
Yeah, I mean the ones. Listen, she's autistic. She's super high functioning, and she's very interesting because like sometimes she's so smart she knows she's autistic, and she kind of uses it as a way to ignore me, right? You know, where she'll be like, I'll be like, hey, come on, let's go, and she'll just be like, I'm autistic, I'm just doing out. But the minute you say something she wants, bang, she's right on you, right? So we're taking our time with teaching her. She's in floaties now, and she just likes to chill in the pool. But the other one, it's, man, you like when you have kids, you're like, oh, they're going to be a jiu-jitsu champion. They're going to be this. They're going to be that. And she just walks around like a gay Velociraptor. That's what she does. They call her Velociraptor at school, like, because she just walks around like this, and it's like, oh, and it was so funny because I got back my, she did this thing for Father's Day where she filled out all this stuff, and they asked, you know, what does your dad do for work? And my daughter put down work.
Mm-hmm. That's what I go, you know, because I always go, I have to go to work. So I told her, I go, you know what daddy does? And she goes, well, I go, I make people laugh. She goes, that's what I do. I make funny faces and make people laugh. I'm like, okay, now we got connection. You're going to be a stand-up comic. So she's on her own thing, but she finally learned to swim. It's like so crazy because like she's like four in floaties mm-hmm. and she's like her and babies. And then these like 2-year-olds are just lapping her. And you're like, oh, my kids are slow. But nope, they just do it when they're ready to do it.
That's it.
And then, like that's.
And so let me ask you this then. I don't mean to sound ignorant when I say this, but I don't know. Like, how did you know your daughter was autistic? Are you if you didn't have two at the same time, would you have been quicker to recognize it?
So
you know what I'm saying?
My mother, was a teacher her whole life, mm-hmm. and so they have this thing called stemming, and this is where they get so excited. They do this, and we didn't know. The mother knew. The mother of your
daughter's mom.
Yeah, she knew way earlier.
She did.
Yeah, she had a feeling, and. You know, we were FaceTiming with our mom because we were like, they're pandemic babies. And like, as much as that whole time period sucked, it was also a blessing because you got to kind of hang out with your kids more mm-hmm. because nobody was leaving the house.
Well, not to rub it in, but when our apartment building, they didn't close the pool. And during the pandemic, I told my daughter, you're swimming every fucking day.
Yeah.
And this is where she was already good, but I was like, this is where you're going deep diving down the deep end, all of it. And we did. We were swimming. Because if you remember, for whatever reason, and thank God, at least here, we had great weather during the pandemic.
Oh, yeah.
During the pandemic. Yeah. It was quiet. We'd just be out there with no responsibilities. We were swimming every day. And I was like, swim, swim, swim. Learn a life skill. That's what you're going to do during this pandemic is learn a life skill.
Yeah, dude, it was great, man.
But my daughter didn't ride a bike. She was even getting on herself because it was that peer pressure. Nothing like peer pressure. Nothing like it. It's great, especially for
kids. I use it as a motivational. I'm like, look at that.
My daughter's a picky eater, and the therapist would say, there's nothing wrong with your daughter. But once they get to high school, and her brother was the same way, peer pressure. The kids are going to shit on them. Like, you just eat ham and cheese and a little bit of mayonnaise. You don't put lettuce and tomato, and they start going to other people's houses, seeing different foods. So that's
bro, I wish my daughters have a crackhead diet.
What do you mean?
They'll only eat chicken nuggets.
That's my daughter.
Right?
Dude.
That's it.
My daughter's dinner mostly consists of dinosaur nuggets. It's got to be dinosaur nuggets or Chick-fil-A. She'll do Chick-fil-A. Strawberries, and I do banana slices with peanut butter on the top. That's a dinner for her. She is super picky.
But I forced fruit in and stuff. How did they get us to eat back in the day?
But they forced us. Right? You can't do that shit. Yeah.
You have to negotiate with domestic terrorists. That's the whole thing, dude.
Nonstop. That's it. Nonstop.
So when we,
I work with you, you work with me. I'm doing that all day
long. A little bit of this. Yeah. And then, dude, 4-year-olds have no problems with reneging on agreements, by the way. They have no problem. You give them theirs, they're like, dude, sucker, I ain't doing any of
whatever.
That.
Whatever. My daughter gives me a whatever a lot.
I don't get it, dude. So, you know, during the pandemic, we would be with the kids all day, and we were FaceTime with my mom, and my daughter started doing this. And I just thought that meant she was super excited, but my mother said that's stemming, and she... So they went and got tested, and it turns out she's autistic, and, you know... I have a lot of guilt. I had a lot of guilt about that. I felt really bad. And then you just kind of realize there's a whole community and there's a lot more people. Just in my family, there's 3 autistic kids.
Is that right?
Yeah.
And you didn't know that before?
I knew that we had one. And then I just found out yesterday that on my dad's side, one of them is super high functioning autistic. They're just little truth machines, these autistic people. Like my daughter, it's so funny, dude. Big reason why I'm getting in shape is because I have my shirt off. My daughters hate when I take off my shirt and have my chi-chis out, right, dude? They get so big. Like my autistic daughter, as soon as I take my shirt off, she'll run in my room, start grabbing shirts for me to put on. And then when she runs out of shirts, she just starts going Carrot Top and pulling out props. She's like handing me hubcaps and traffic codes, anything to hide the tits, right?
Everyone in the comedy world knows that not every joke delivers, but Harry's always delivers. They send the best quality razors right to your door for a fraction of the price of the big brands. Better design shaving products at a better price is no joke. It's Harry's. They sent me a whole kit. I use it nonstop. Take it on the road with me. Keep it in the shower. You get a nice razor. You get it's and it's a good razor. It's a good weight. It's not some little, you know, thing you can feel this thing in your hand. Feels like you got a real razor in your hand. And the blades are great. Comes with a little travel kit. It's awesome. I love Harry's. Been using them for a long time. They have richly lathering, skin softening body wash in scents like Redwood, Wildlands, and Stone. It's extra strength, high quality, amazing smelling deodorant for just $5. Plus hair and other grooming products to fit your unique looks and needs. They offer a no-risk trial. If you don't like your shave, no worries. It's on them, all right? If you do love it, they have a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Get the shaving products that always deliver. Get Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/honeydew. That's harrys.com/honeydew for a $3 trial set. Go do it. Now let's get back to the do.
And then the other daughter's like, you know, I'm like, yeah, man, I got really bad knees. Mm-hmm. She goes, yeah, because you're getting fat. I go, what? She goes, you're getting fat. I go, well, maybe I should work out. Maybe I should just walk out and leave and never come back again, right? I mean, they're just very honest at this point.
I'm trying to get my daughter to rethink what fat is.
Yeah, you know 100%. What I mean? We're creating a curve.
Yeah, I'm like, listen, I'm chubby or plump. But I was like, I'll point out a fat I'm person. Thick. You see that person in that cart over there?
I'm thick, dude. Thick,
yeah. Dude.
I am, dude.
Yeah, so, we're also 51-year-old comedians. I'm not a personal trainer. You know what I mean?
Dude, you're looking good.
No, I got to drop some weight. After the hospital and all that, and I couldn't move, I get, you know, you get heavy. But I'm working out now and everything and feeling so much better.
I had one TV show on TV. It was called Wild World of Spike. I did with Jason Ellis. And I learned what a hematoma was that day, which is like this giant blood bruise. So I was doing this stunt because I just was desperate to be on television at that time. So they're like, you're doing stunts. I'm like, what? Whatever. Okay, let's do it. And I get a hematoma and I gained this layer of permafat that literally took me 15 years to get rid of. And it wasn't until I started doing fasting that I lost this 15 pounds. So I was at 225 at one point. Now I'm down to 200. My goal is 175.
Yeah.
So I'm doing through fasting and counting calories. Oh, the worst, dude. Putting it in this app and it tells me whether I'm a fat ass or not.
Yeah, you look that. You got to look at it and tell you.
my girl will want to give me posties. I'm like, that's 600 calories.
What are you trying to get me killed?
You want to get me beat up?
Getting red thumbs downs over here on this thing.
I got this app judging me and shit.
All right. So how do you balance time? So again, like you're not going to take both your daughters out to play catch necessarily. So how do you balance your time with two kids who are the same age, who are very different?
And they're very indie, dude.
And you also only get half your time with them.
Yes.
So well, how you know do you do that?
You know, when we go out, you know, her name is Ghost. There's Ghost and Ninja.
Yep.
Ninja is the autistic one. You know, Ghost is easy. You know, she can take care of herself. You know, you're not like letting her wander off, but you know, she's going to be good. Dude, Ninja, I just have to chase her everywhere she goes. You set her down, bang.
Oh, she's not right by your side. She wants to go.
Yeah, she wants to go. She wants
ninjas.
To explore.
Literally ninjas, know,
yeah, yeah,
bro.
Yeah.
That's
she great. Throws out smoke bombs, gone. I'm like, we did that the other day. I'm like, where is she? Where is she? She's hiding in the bushes looking at us. Yeah, so with Ghost, she's pretty easy. And it's weird because like everyone's like, you got to keep your kids off the iPads. I go, but they work all day. Like they go to school all day. Then they play. When they get home, they just want to sit on the iPad. Because my dad told me, like, stop playing video games. Games, you'll never
Stop
make money off
TV.
It. And now everybody,
our iPad was the TV. We all had the
yeah,
TV
it's so
on
crazy.
Nonstop. And if you didn't, your brother had it on. You know what I mean? It was background all, my whole childhood.
And my daughter says stuff. I go, where'd you find that? And I know it's off of YouTube. Mm-hmm. Now, one day I was like, when we put them to bed, and they were like, we give them a couple minutes with their pad, right? And I heard like dun dun dun. dun, 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 dun. And I realize somebody in there is listening to Superman That Ho by Soldier Boy. Yeah. I'm like, nah, 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 nah. No, we're not listening to this. We're not Supermaning any hoes. You're 40 years old. Give me that time. Pad's done, dude. Pad's done. Because they can work that pad better than I can. That,
it's made for them, dude. It's I think they have kids test them before they send them out to the market.
Yeah.
My daughter shows me how to do stuff on. I'm like, how the fuck did you do that? And she's like, oh, you take three fingers, you tap it twice. I'm like, what?
Yeah, dude. Yeah. And because that's the future. Mm-hmm. It's going to get more and more computer. It's not going to get less and less computer.
That's the other thing. The argument is for, okay, we don't want our kids to have all this tablet time or screen time, but that's where the world is.
Yeah.
So if we don't, then are we, you know, hurting them by not letting them be part of that world that they're in?
We're battling Indian kids, dog. They're coming for our jobs. We got to get these kids. We got to get these kids on the pad hustling. But it's so funny, dude. So, you know, during COVID, it was kind of crazy. I got to hang out with my kids. And, you know, COVID was really nuts because, like, I didn't care. Like, that's my brand. Like, my fans didn't care. I was, like, flying around, like, America doing, like, what they called, like, suicide runs. Literally, my agent was calling, like, these are suicide runs because I would go to comedy clubs. I didn't care, you know? And it was so funny because I go to, like, St. Louis. They had me out at the St. Louis Helium. Mm-hmm. And I show up and I'm like, what's going on? They're like, yeah, we don't serve alcohol, booze, or food. I go, then why am I here? Like, I'm just hawking liquor at this point. That's what comedians are there for. They can have all that. I did a show for four people.
No.
Four people. I'm like, why are you guys here? I get it. I appreciate it. But what are we doing right now? You can't drink. They couldn't even have water on their table. Why are you here? So I do this show. This is a hilarious kind of, well, it's, I don't know if it's hilarious, but it's crazy. But so I do a show in Missouri. No, where was it? I do the, it's Wisconsin. What's that comedy club in Wisconsin?
Comedy on State?
No, it's not the other one. Man, what is it? It's a great club. So I do the show in Wisconsin. I get home. My brother's like, hey, I want to come see my nieces. I'm going to drive in. So my brother drives in from Phoenix, Arizona. Well, as he's driving, he's like, I'm almost there. I get a call from my manager. She's like, someone tested positive for COVID at your show. I'm like, how do you know? Because they emailed us. I go, oh, now there's a paper trail, right? So now I'm like, okay. I never wanted to go get tested. I'm like, I have to at this point because they could say I wasn't taking care of people if I didn't know. So I go get tested. They take this long thing, they jam it down your nose. I'm like, that can't be healthy, right? Pull that thing out.
That first one they gave me was wildly aggressive. That very first
deep
one they
gave me. In the back, you're like, you just punctured something
no
back
doubt.
There.
They went hard on that first one. When I like ended up just getting snake. The second time, I'm like, that's it? Like, it was so different. I was like, wait, that's all we really
made
need.
Advances.
That's all we made advances, my ass. That's all we ever needed to do.
So I do it and my brother's like 10 minutes away. Now my brother, like I said, my brother, him and I love each other, but we're very different. We're very different. Like he's he at that time was a lot more liberal. Like I'm an old school liberal, you know, but now it's like I'd say I'm like aligned with like libertarianism and stuff like that. But my brother's like liberal and he was very like weirded. My brother was so weirded out by COVID that he decided to be like a guinea pig for the vaccine.
What do you mean?
And he took like the experimental thing to see how it would work. That's how nuts he was. He did. He was like a guinea pig for
he
like.
He took one before like they,
everyone
they
else
finalized
did,
it?
To see if like some would grow off his head. Nuh-uh. Or something. Yeah, dude.
Did he have any weird side effects?
I can't believe it, dude. He thinks he got placebo. So far.
I mean, that shit could be a 10-year thing. Don't know.
Not good, right? Mm-hmm. So anyways, bro, he walks in. And as he's about to come in, my phone rings. And it's the test. And this guy's like so dramatic on the phone. He's like, I have such bad news for you. He's like almost going to cry. You're positive. I'm like, what is going on here? First of all, I just left you. How do you already know all this? And why are you making so dramatic? I'm the one who's sick. You act like you're on a deathbed. I'm so sorry. Call us in a week. Hangs up on me. So now I have to tell my brother.
Yeah.
Who's freaking out about it. My brother comes in. He's hugging everybody. I'm like, I got something to tell you. He goes, what? I go, I'm positive for COVID. And dude, this white face on him, just, he gets white. And hand to God, he just walks right out, jumps in his car, and drives to New York.
Nuh-uh.
Yeah, he just drove to New York, dude.
He didn't say goodbye, right? He just left.
He drove to New York, tested there, negative, dude. How crazy
just
is that?
Just I'm out, man.
That it was crazy, dude. Those were crazy-ass times, dude. I love the pandemic. Pandemic traffic, that was awesome.
It was awesome. Pandemic traffic was awesome.
Was the best. We need a black plague in LA just like once a year.
Don't say that.
Have everybody move to Austin. Go move to Austin. Get about 50 of us by 2030.
What worries you the most about being a dad?
Oh, I don't know. That my daughter's already walking around the living room naked. I'm like, hey. Because we had family over, and she wanted to go in the pool, so she took off all of her stuff. I'm like, hey, get off the main stage and get to the bedroom and have Dana put your bathing suit on.
Get off the main stage.
Let's go. Because, dude,
you're ridiculous.
We don't get naked in front of strangers. Let's go.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, that's my biggest. I just want to give them the best advice when they go into the world. And it just gets scary. But,
I mean, I think our job as parents is to, like, it's obviously to do the best we can given what we have, but also to outdo what our parents did. Just to go, look, here's what I improved on this.
Yes.
Your turn to take the ball, hit the hole. Keep continuing forward, improving, you know, ultimately.
Your job is to go, what are my defects and how can I not pass that on?
Yeah, I want you to be aware of them. Yes. I want you not to be like this. I want to be,
One of the best things I ever learned in recovery is that nobody's thinking about me. I think that's really important to tell people. Yep. Like this notion that like people are conspiring against you. It's just like everybody is white knuckling their lives.
Yep.
Right?
We're on a goddamn rocket out of space right now that could drop it.
They're just
moment.
Trying to survive, dude. Yeah. It's like, really is nothing personal. So hard not to get that. The most black belt thing you could ever think, dude, the most black belt thing is like the best black belt level mental state is to go, people's opinions of me is none of my business.
Agreed.
Like if you can get to that, that's the most freeing shit in the world. And sometimes the people you love aren't necessarily going to love you back. And that's okay too. Your job is just spread love and help others. That's my whole thing. It's like, how can I surrender and acceptance and surrender. That's what I think you should do. And how can I be of service to others?
That's great. So give me an offstage weekend with Sam Tripoli and his daughters. Give me a day. Give me a Saturday for you.
Well, you know.
A home. You're in town. You're home.
We got to do it. Your whole thing. It's like Maz Gibrani would talk all the time about just get them busy. Well, you know, it's like most of the weeks, what would happen is like I would get, you know, I get up early, like at 8 a.m. for a comic. That's pretty early. Mm-hmm. Like I used to, Cocaine Sam, 3 a.m. go to bed.
Yeah.
Right. So when I had kids, we changed the time. So my body clock just flipped. And now I'm going to bed early and I'm getting up at like 6 a.m. with the kids, 7 a.m. But now it's like 8:00. But on the weekends, I'll sleep in a little bit. And then Dana will take care of the kids because they'll just get up and just start wrecking. I mean, dude, the greatest feeling in the world is when you get four-year-olds to go to bed. I've done everything 1,000 times twice. had the most amazing life, rock star, hooked up with women way out of my league, all that amazing stuff. Nothing compares to putting four-year-olds to bed.
Yeah.
When they go to sleep.
You got two of them.
Oh, yeah.
Are they sharing a room?
Right now they are.
Yeah, so that means like my brother and I, we used to keep each other up.
Yeah, 100%. Mm-hmm. Well, the luckily, Ghost falls asleep very easy. Ninja, because autistic kids have no, what's it called that helps you go to sleep? Serotonin?
Melatonin.
Melatonin, there we go. Yeah, melatonin. They don't have that. So they're up forever. And like sometimes you think they're asleep and then you go lay down and you're like, okay, they're in bed. And then you just hear somebody Keith Mooning it.
Driving a car into the pool and shit.
Out there, the whole living room's a mess. It's like you have cocaine energy right now.
Yeah.
They have coke. They don't want to go to bed. They're right.
Dude, let me tell you something. I wonder this myself. My daughter's definitely a night owl, and I am. We're comics. We're nighttime people. I wonder if that isn't a genetic thing you pass on, because my daughter fights sleep like a fucking superhero.
Yeah,
you
for
know
sure.
What I mean? Does not want to go down.
Yeah, what time she usually get to bed?
I mean, man, when it's school, I'm trying to get her to bed. I'd love to be in bed by 8:30. Yeah. That shit ain't ever happening.
People are like, well, we train them like this. We train them like that. I go,
did you?
Dude, yeah. Good. What are you talking? I mean,
well, go cattle prod her to get in bed.
No,
it's
you sometimes-
honest to God, she's in bed usually 9-ish. I make her read even if it is late. And then I would say she's asleep 9:30. 9:45-ish.
Oh,
real.
You're blessed, dude.
For real.
We try to, I try That's when late, they're I at think. My house, I try to get them to bed at 9,
mm-hmm.
and then good luck from there.
Is it midnight? Is it 11?
Sometimes, man.
Summer, it's like that. It's been like that with her in summer. I hear her in there just doing whatever. I'm like, hey. And then I go, you'll see in the morning. And she's just like me, 5 more minutes. I mean.
Because I remember when my mom would do that to me, like, I forget what, probably like 8 or something. She's like, go to bed. I'm like, the lights are on.
The sun's
it's
still
sun's
out.
The sun's still out. Yeah. Why am I in
no
my bed?
Way.
And I would just sit there like, what am I doing?
Yeah.
Right? So yeah. Like, I kind of keep that in mind. And then, dude, you put them to sleep. You walk out. And then you just hear them wrecking shop. And it's like kind of this weird thing where it's like, because, you know, we have, Dana has relatives and their kids are trained like assassins. They're like it's almost like in The Sound of Music where they all just goodbye so yeah. long for, and they just go up and go to sleep. I go, how do you do that? My kids, wild ones. But again, here's my theory on parenting. Like everyone's like, my opinion is, you know what you need to do. You know what you need to do. It's inside you. And it's like, they're on their journey. Like the thing that will mess them up is trauma. Okay. If you surround them with love and you let them do their thing, they're going to find their way. They're on their path. As long as you shield them from trauma, that doesn't knock them off the rails. And then who knows where they end up? It's like, just let them be and they'll be fine.
I also try not to get too mad about shit, because I'm not going to lie, I'm not good. Like, I'll lay in bed with my daughter when she reads and then we'll start laughing at something and I can't stop. I can't stop. You know what I mean? I'm in there laughing my ass. We were laughing so hard the other night at some shit. I was dying.
Oh, you're a great dad.
And then I'm like, all right, quiet, go to bed. And then I start laughing. You know what I mean? And I'm like, stop. And then she's laughing and she's doing that. You know, there's nothing that makes me laugh harder when someone's not supposed to laugh. And you catch that out of the corner of your eye, that them holding it in, you know, trying to fight, trying to give it to you. Where
Is
I'm,
she
oh,
funny?
Dude, oh, yeah. She's so fucking funny, dude. She called me the other night laughing because she's at her mom's and she was telling her mom she want French tip nails. And her mom's like, I don't like French tip. And she looks at her mom's nails and they're a wreck. She goes, yeah, you like French chipped, she told her. And she called me. She's like, hey, dad. She showed me her mom's nails. She goes, I said this to her. I said, that's good. That's fucking good.
She's already roasting.
She's already roasting. She's smart as shit. She gets it. My daughter gets it, which is cool. But also, I've never treated her like a little kid. You know, I've always had to leverage with her. Like, look, man, you got two parents who love you in two different homes that welcome you and support you in all things you do. This is just the way it is. There was a time where she said to me once, I wish we were a real family, like the family next door that lived together. Too. And I said, hold on a second. I said, hold on. I don't ever want to hear it again. We are a real family. And I said, just because these people live under the same roof, I said, I'm going to be straight up with you. Sometimes people under that roof are punching each other. They're yelling at each other. Yeah. They're burning each other. Yeah. They're tearing the place down. It doesn't mean anything to be under a roof. It's not about what family or love is.
It's hard. My daughter says that too all the time.
And I love it. Does she? Yeah. I mean, my daughter's over it now. She's nine now. And she gets it. You know, she used to be like, you should hug mom. Like when she's like two or three, you know.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
Well, here you go.
Yeah.
But the other night, a friend of mine was over and she watches my dog for me. And my daughter's got her roller skates on. That's why I'm saying I love being a parent. My daughter's just roller skating around the apartment, just up and down, all over the place. And my fucking friend finally goes, that doesn't drive you fucking nuts? I go, what? She goes, the skating. It would drive me nuts.
Inside?
Yeah, inside. Oh, yeah, dude. And I was like, no, I tune it out. I go, let me tell you something. Here's the thing as a parent that'll drive you nuts when you don't hear anything.
Yeah.
That's when you're like, what the fuck's going on back here?
What are you getting into?
You can skate around here. I see you. I hear you. You're not getting in any trouble. Skate. I don't own this place.
Yeah, that's my daughter, dude. Like, whenever she hides, we know she's trying to shit her pants. That's what she's trying to do. I'm like, go in the bathroom and do it. You don't have to do it in a closet.
Hide in there. Yeah.
Don't hide in there. Go drop it. Dude, Dad loves dropping deuces. It's fun. It's free. It's a fun game you play.
Yeah, I'd like to shit in the closet, too. You know what I mean?
I would love to shit in the closet. I just don't have anyone coming to clean it. I love being a dad. It's my favorite thing. She drew a face of me, and I'm going to get tatted.
Are you?
It's the cutest, funniest, weirdest thing you've ever seen in your life. I'm going to get it tatted. I just got to figure out where I'll – because I got two tats I want to get. I want to get Godzilla, and then I want to get my daughter's picture of me. It's, like, so funny. I'll show it to you. I love it.
Send it to us.
Yeah, I love it.
What are your favorite parts of being a dad? What's the hardest parts? Give me the hardest parts first.
The hardest part is trying to get them to understand what I'm telling them is good for them. I have to go, you got to trust your dad. You got to trust me. I'm never going to lead you wrong. Trust me on this. Trust me on that. Because they're very strong-willed. They're very strong-willed. Now, with my daughter, who's autistic, nonverbal, you have to learn to pick up cues for her. And it's hard because... You know, it's like
when you say nonverbal, does she not speak at all?
She says
or limited words, vocabulary,
like very limited.
Like,
she'll say da da,
okay,
and stuff like that. And the mom, she says a lot of stuff around her mom,
mm-hmm.
But it's gonna come. I know it's coming. So that for me is just like the ability to communicate with them to get them to do things they don't necessarily want to do.
You're communicating with two different human beings,
two different ways.
Yeah. Instead of telling two kids at the same time, both do this, that's two different computers.
They're very weird.
You're working with. You're working with an iPhone and a fucking Samsung.
She's very, they love each other, but they do their own thing.
Yeah.
They're very indie for two twins.
Do they ever play together?
Yeah, once in a while, and it's such a joy. But usually they're just off exploring their own thing. But, you know, Ghost knows that Ninja is special,
mm-hmm.
and she's very protective of her.
Okay, good.
And they don't like to be separated. They just want to do their own thing. Like, they want to be in the same place together.
Independently codependent. Yeah,
they're codependent, independent.
Yeah.
That's how it is. And it's just fun to watch somebody grow up into a person and have their personalities.
Oh, yeah, it's the best.
And then just negotiating with them. And, you know, they're very emotional. The worst is like, you know, so it's like,
I'm learning how to deal with that, too, because brothers' emotional is different. They're going to punch you, wrestle you. Like, my daughter cries, and I have to understand that that's a different way to express these same emotions that my brothers used to give me a wedgie for. You know what I mean?
No, 100%.
Yeah.
And they just know, because I remember we were at Dana's family, and they have this really nice place down, like, towards San Diego. And my daughter was in the pool, and she didn't want to do something, and we're like telling her to do it, and she doesn't want to do it, and then she starts crying, and then I give in, and then Dana's sister's like, oh, she's got Sam wrapped around her finger, huh? And it's just like this weird kind of place between like, how long can I let you cry before I feel like an awful human being, mm-hmm. right? That like, that's that fine thing. And then sometimes in public, when you're trying to teach them something, people judging you around, they're like, oh, dude, well, she's crying. I'm like, hey, man, you know what I'm doing here? Like, I was at Chuck E. Cheese one day, and everyone's staring. So we get this. So we go to, I have my kids go to a private school, right? Because I just don't want them to be trans. Your kids can be trans. I don't need my kids to be trans. But we go to,
we got enough shit going on right now.
Yeah. Live your best life, okay? But we're going to a private school. We're not going to public school, okay? So they're at a fundraiser at Chuck E. Cheese.
Okay.
And we show up at Chuck E. Cheese, dog. It's like, do you see the show Fallout? Yeah, it's basically amusement park.
Pre-pandemic. I thought they all closed. I saw them selling their pizza in the freezer section at Ralph's. Dude, did you know that? They all floated their pizzas.
Do you know the conspiracy about Chuck E. Cheese?
What is it?
That they reuse their pizza.
What do you mean? No. Like if there's three pieces left?
Yes.
No.
Now, dude, I can show you a picture of my pizza. The crusts don't even know each other.
Don't know each other.
Dude, there's one up here. There's one way down here. Hand to God. Hand to God.
What if we should get a frozen Chuck E. Cheese and open it and see if it's all over the place?
See if they're meeting for the first time. It's like a little mixer.
A little bit different cheese colors.
Dude,
and shit.
It's crazy.
I've never heard that rumor.
Yes.
Chuck E. Cheese.
And I took a picture of it and showed it on my podcast, and like, dude, like one's slanted down, one's way
did
up.
Did other people write in and be like, hey, we think we have one too?
I nobody sent it to me, but I've heard, dude, I've seen it on Reddit, dude.
Chuck E. Cheese might reuse their pizza.
Allegedly, so we got to
right,
say allegedly.
I hear you, allegedly, yeah.
Right? So
if there's two pieces left on this table and two over there, you're telling me they're going in the back and they're whipping up a
Oh,
no, dude. Oh, that's the... Oh shit, I never heard that.
So there's this whole thing in conspiracies about how everything's going digital,
mm-hmm.
like your money to mm-hmm. so they can control you. Like if you act up, they'll just shut your digital off. Like okay. That's what it is. Well, Chuck E. Cheese has gone fully digital. You don't get any of the coins anymore.
What?
There's no hard coins.
No?
It's just a card. Yeah, they've gone totally WEF, World Economic Forum. Yeah. So it's a fundraiser. I pay $30 for this pizza that's just meeting itself.
Yeah. Some old ass used pizza's crazy.
It looks like Frankenstein's dirt knot. You know, to use a Jimmy Schubert frame. Oh, got a dirt knot, right?
Oh, man.
So I paid $30 for that. American dollars for this pizza that looks like it's 7-Eleven pizza, right?
Yeah.
So I get that, and then I buy a card for
games. Mm-hmm.
So then, you know, so I of course my daughters just like tell me to buy everybody's games, and I'm like, oh, you're just running through this card, dude. You don't even understand value of this money, dude. I'm raising like a gold digger or something like that. She's just gonna spend money and not even care, right? So one time she's like, can I have the card? I go, no, you can't have the card. This is Chuck E. Cheese coins. You can't take out that paid for. Please, can I have the card? And she's so cute. I love her. She's like, can I please have the card? I want to play this game. I'm like, okay, I'll give you the card. So I give her the card. I'm just sitting around 5 minutes later. She goes, hey, can I have the card? I want to go play this game. I go, I gave you the card. She goes, I don't have the card. I go, where's the fucking card? That's $30 of Chuck E. Cheese coins. Do you know how many conspiracy theorists your dad has to interview? You know how many times I have to hear about flat earth and deep states to get $30 in Chuck E. Cheese coins? I'm like, God, my knees, I'm in her face. Where's the card? I'm not shitting Chuck E. Cheese coins. I look up, all the moms are judging me. Day drinking at a Chuck E. Cheese.
Day drinking, no doubt.
Yeah, yep. Dude. Yep. I don't know what Rock Bomb looks like, but it's a Bud Light at a Chuck E. Cheese at noon.
Yep.
Right?
Yeah.
They just judge you. They always judge you.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, dude, you want to yell at your kid?
It's the way I feel as a dad, too. Like, it can't happen on my watch. You know what I mean? Like, the ship's just got to run fucking smooth over here. I tell my daughter that all the time. Like, we got to just run. Shit's got to run smooth over here. We got to look good.
100%.
We got to come out of this.
Dads.
We're a team.
We're not their
friends.
We got
to look good. That's the other thing I tell. She said something the other night, and I said, and I cursed too. I was like, no, knock that shit off now. I'm not one of your punk friends at school doing some TikTok trend or whatever. I'm your dad, and you're not bringing that bullshit my way. Enough's enough. And she'll be like, all right, she
I
gets
was
it.
So sad when I brought her to school for the first time. We put them in school when they were about three. And it was just like, we're already losing them, right? You just got them, and now you're just sending them out to the world. But it's great because it socializes them. And
it's what needs to happen. That's the bittersweet part, you know? Like, my daughter already didn't want to hold my hand as we get closer to the front of the school. So, I'm the dad. I'm like, you don't want to hold, you know, can I hold my hand? Not going to hold my, dad. I do this shit all the time. Yell at people in traffic. Like, can we get in over there? My daughter thinks, I'll say that to my daughter. Like, that guy has a nice shirt on. Like, my daughter likes your shirt. She's like, dad. I'm like, what? People like compliments.
100%.
That guy's going to say thank you so much.
That means a lot to people.
We were at the, I try to little
help
challenges
three people
with her.
A day. That's what I say.
Okay. I try little challenges with her. So yesterday we're at the coolant was low on the car. And I just was like, I'll just pull in Jiffy Lube real quick. And they're like, we do oil. I'm like, look, I just need the coolant refill. And they're like, all right, you can sit in the car while we do it. So you got the hood popped. And through the crack of the hood, I can see that they're eating pizza. And I said, Stella, when they come up to the window, I'll give you $20. If you go, hey, can I get a bite of that piece? And she's like, no way. And I was like, what are they going to do? I said, they're going to be like, this little girl just asked if she could have a bite of this pizza. They're going to love it, or they're just going to look at you like you're a weirdo, but you're rolling with $20. And she wouldn't do it. She wouldn't do it. She's like, you do it. I go, if I do it, I'm going to say my daughter wants to know. No, dad, no. I'm like, all right.
Dude, that's the best.
Yeah.
Press.
Mm-hmm.
Get comfortable with the uncomfortable.
That's it. Dude, thank you. Thank you for doing this. Best of luck to you. Continued in comedy, but as a dad out there.
I love you, buddy.
I love you.
I love you, dude. I love your rise. I love your pace. I love everything about you.
I still, nothing tickles me more than crushing and you coming out and as I pass you going, hey, you'll get them next time, bro.
Dude, you crush at the comedy chaos all the time, dude.
I love it. It's one of the best shows. It really is. Congrats
on
that.
I love that show.
How many sold out consecutive shows?
We're at 84 now. 84. We got 16 more to 100, then we'll decide if we're still going to go.
That's insane, dude.
Dude, that's a hard thing to do, bro.
That's insane. It's insane. Please promote everything one more time. Your special.
SamTripoli.com. My new special, Quiet, available like Rumble. Then it will be on samtripoli.com. I would love to put it on YouTube, but it's a giant waste of time. Right out the gate, I'm in trouble. And then listen to my podcast, Broken Sim. It's just me and my buddy, we just talk about our week, and it's so super interesting. It's a great conversation. Then Tinfoil Hat, which is I'm known for, and then Deep Waters with Sam Tripoli and Dylan Wren. It's a really great debate show. So check it out.
All right, brother. As always, Ryan Sickler on all your social media, RyanSickler.com. Come see me on tour. If I am in your city when you're around, tickets are on my website now, RyanSickler.com. We'll talk to y'all next week.